Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I saw a headline involving the Buckeyes. And this headline really concerned me. And there is one man who has the journalistic integrity to be able to answer this concerning Buckeye question. And he, of course, is the best friend of the program, Doug LaMaurice of Cleveland.com and The Plain Dealer, and he joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right, Doug, I'm fired up about this, and I have to ask you. Did you see that Ohio State hired a DJ for pregame and postgame to play songs to enhance the atmosphere?
I did.
What in the... It's you? They're making you do double duty now?
No, you don't want... It'd be all boy bands. It'd be a lot of NSYNC.
So you have the best damn band in the land and you're going to roll out a DJ?
Well, I mean, I'm not, the kids today, kids like spinning the tune. So like, I don't know. I know there's like, I'm sure they will leave room for the band, right? I mean, they will definitely leave room for the band. I don't know. I'm not as wound up about it as some people are. I'm curious to see what the balance is. You certainly don't want to neglect the band. But I think there perhaps may be room for both.
The only thing I ask, man, is they should integrate both of them, and they should have somebody walking like, you know, like they're playing the multiple the toms, I think is what they was called. There's the multiple drums, but instead just have it be two turntables.
Yeah.
So that they can march with them and then, you know, and scratch records.
I'm in.
Me too.
I'm in.
All right,
let's
get to things that matter. All right, I assume you watched Browns preseason game number 3 last night. What stood out to you?
So actually, I hosted a tween birthday party for like 15 kids last night. So I'm sitting here watching the Browns game right now. So that's always a different thing, right? When you sort of read about it and hear about it and then you watch it. And so the thing that's jumping out to me is actually, I thought Baker was fine. Like, I know his numbers were bad, but I thought Baker actually showed some chops with like offensive line breakdowns and keeping plays alive and put balls on guys' hands if they drop. And I know other people said that too. But I think it's the thing that jumps out is like, man, like their skill guys really are good because like they're much better than the dudes who played last night. And, you know, we all know everybody who didn't play last night. But then obviously they have offensive line issues and that's not a surprise. But the thing that I've been wondering the whole time is can they get it's, Their offensive line is going to be no better than average, but, like, what does that mean? And can they get away with it? And there were enough times last night where Eric Kush, you know, let some guy in to pressure Baker, and it's like, yeah, that might be a problem if that keeps happening.
That's what screamed at me, was not only the right guard spot, but then bad Greg Robinson showed up yesterday.
Yeah, and both tackles are iffy for sure, but that was bad Greg Robinson, wasn't it?
That was bad Greg. I mean, I can't remember between the two of them how many I saw where Baker either had to sidestep somebody coming at his face or he had to get out of the pocket because he could clearly feel the pressure behind him from, you know, whoever was coming off of that left side. I mean, that, whoo, buddy, that got ugly in a hurry.
He just looked, he looked out of place. He looked slow. I was just watching him on bad on a run block play. He had penalties. I've been very curious just about how they're going to line up, how they're going to utilize guys. I wrote something earlier in camp just about the idea of, you know, I don't know if David Njoku is going to have a huge year because I just think they might need tight ends in helping the tackles block a lot of the time and that you just tell Odell to go get open. But I just think they're going to need to keep guys in because I don't know that you can trust either of the tackles completely. And then you're getting some inside pressure with the issues at right guard. You did see times where, you know, it's not like Baker got sacked 15 times. He can do something after the pressure comes. That's the great thing about having a quarterback who can move. But they're going to have to, you know, realize that, not necessarily account for it, but that's part of who they are, that they probably have three offensive linemen, everybody except Petonio and Treader, you have some questions about, and that's just going to have to affect what Freddie and Baker think about going into a game.
Well, it's the difference between, and I know people around here are probably going to roll their eyes on this, it's the difference between the 2011 Packers, where Aaron Rodgers was mobile but yet could take a three-step drop and deliver the ball on time and on target, and like the 2014 Seattle Seahawks, where Russell Wilson would hike it and then just run for his life and hope for the best. And I don't want to watch 2014 Russell Wilson, where his tackles are a mess and he's having to hike the ball and just run for his life. And that's what I worry about with Baker, Doug. Like, I worry that he's just going to say hike, and it's going to be, oh boy, here we go.
Yeah, because you at least need a three-step drop to give Odell a little time to get open. So, and you don't want to. I mean, everyone likes the structure of what Freddie does, right? Everybody likes the game. You don't just want to be playing playground ball the whole time because you don't get a chance to run your plays. So, you know, the one thing is, and I think this is the hard balance, is, you know, the right guard problem makes sense because they took out a good guy and the guys they've tried to put in are not good. These two tackles were here in the second half of last year when the offensive line protected Baker really well within that scheme, with the way Freddie devised things. So, we've seen it work. We've seen it work pretty well, where Baker, everyone knows the stats, Baker was not hit very much in the second half of last season when Greg Robinson took over at left tackle and Hubbard was there. So that's sort of in the back of my head of like, well, it's worked before, but also I think you have to realize that Robinson and Hubbard as a duo, again, are no better than average, and I think you have to cross your fingers for average and hope that that's enough.
All right, so if you're crossing your fingers for average, is John Dorsey picking up the phone and calling Washington and saying, what do you want for Trent Williams?
Yeah, it's hard because, you know, he has some room to maneuver. But I get that the window is right here. Like, the window is right now. The window is they're going to lose some good players off this team for next year because they're going to get cash strapped. But, you know, like, it's a little easier said than done, I think, right? That there are considerations, you know, beyond just like, we got to fix this spot. You know, they gave Greg Robinson $9 million this year. You know, like, you're throwing that away if you do that, and you're throwing away. I mean, do you get to throw away a future first round pick to fix a spot? And is it going to be long-term? Are you going to keep it? You know, Laremy Tunsil apparently is on the market from the Dolphins. Are you going to have long-term fixes? Is this a desperation move for 1 year? I get it. And I'm not against it, but I don't know the depth to it, because I think the one thing you don't want to do, it's like you have to balance going for it without being desperate. So Odell was going for it, but it wasn't at all desperate. Sheldon Richardson wasn't desperate. That was just going for it. A big move for a tackle now would be a little bit of desperation that would make me a little nervous about how everything fits together.
He is Doug Lamorese of Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You, of course, can follow him on Twitter at Doug Lamorese. All right, buddy, what do you think as you're watching the kicking competition? Did Austin Siebert really, like, show out to you in this game going 4-for-4?
Yes, and I like the idea of them saying, like, hey, dude, it's your night. And I also get the idea of, like, you're in a competition. Well, I go, the other guy goes, I go, the other guy goes. Oh, man, I missed. So he missed. Like, it can get in your head a little bit. So to give Austin a chance to be like, clear your head, it's your night, act like this is what it would be like in an NFL game where you're the one kicker. And then he looked like an NFL kicker, then to me it has to be over. Because Greg Joseph is Greg Joseph. As other people have said, guys like that are a dime a dozen. But if you're spending a fifth-round pick on a guy, you believe he's a little better than a dime a dozen. So if Seibert's going to show you that in a situation where you give him the job for a night, then I think he's your guy.
I'm leaning that direction as well, because there's a lot of people who are sitting back and saying, well, you know, I heard this morning, cut them both and wait for Dan Bailey to get cut. And I don't want to play that game because I know the Bears are just going to step up and be like, here's a giant blank check, come solve our problems. And I don't want to – I would overpay for a left tackle. Don't get me wrong. I'm not overpaying for a kicker. So I'm kind of in the same camp. I think it's Austin Siebert's job at this point, unless Greg Joseph starts hitting 60-yarders in game four.
And that doesn't mean it's his job for the whole year. But if you're going to spend – he showed enough last night to at least partially justify the fifth-round pick, which means let's give him a shot for the first month, We don't think he's going to lose us games. Give him a shot for the first month, and if we find out that he can't hack it in games, then you're on alert. But I don't think you have to be that way right now.
Right, because you don't want to turn totally into the Chargers where you turn this over and then all of a sudden you're just rolling through kickers hoping that somebody, you know, actually clicks. Like, that's the last thing I think you want to deal with this season. So the other question I have, too, is so the Scottish Hammer was in, you know, center stage last night and had himself a really, really nice outing. Is this an actual punting battle now between him and Britton Colquitt, or is this still Colquitt's job?
I don't know. I would have a hard time. There's just, again, the Browns are in such a different place, right, that if this was last year or 2 years ago, I think you'd say, well, let's try the Scottish Hammer. What the heck? You know, maybe we're on to something. And if it doesn't work, I mean, you know, whatever. We're not a Super Bowl contender. They're a Super Bowl contender. They're a playoff. You can't afford to, like, miss on a punter. So, like, I get the upside of that guy, but I also might just be like, you know what? At punter, I'm willing to go safe. And I'm willing to go sure thing and just don't screw it up. And you know what? If we let the Scottish Hammer go and he is a phenom somewhere else, so be it. That would seem, I don't know. That would be a little bit of a risk to me that I don't know it would be worth taking at that spot for a team this good.
All right, now the big question. So you did the tween party last night. What would have went over better, the DJ or the Ohio State marching band? Or the third option being the DJ in the back on the toms with the ones and twos?
Yeah, no, again, I think the combo is your best route. But, I will say, the band is impressive, right? The band,
right.
You get it? The band right there, when you're there with the band, everybody knows that. So, I mean, if I could have gotten the band in my basement last night, I would have tried it.
I don't blame you. I would have done the same thing, and I think it would have been fantastic. All right, Doug, I'm going to tell you now, and I'll text you to confirm later in the week. But join me next week. We'll do Ohio State preview.
Yeah, and can I ask something real quick?
Yeah, of course, brother.
I saw your tweet about the show. Do you really think Kluber is not going to pitch at Indian anymore?
Okay, so this was from Chris Rose. He joined us a little bit. He joined us during the week, and he said, you know, with this last injury that took place, I wonder if this is the last pitch that Corey Kluber has thrown for the Cleveland Indians. And the minute that he said that, something just clicked in my head, and I was like, he actually might be right, because these starters have been so good. And, I mean, Aaron Civale has stepped up and looks like he belongs in the majors as well. And, like, there's so much depth there that I wonder if they're just going to allocate that capital somewhere else, because you know that they're not going to add anything. So if anything, it's going to be all about how can we take what we have and allocate it elsewhere.
Yeah, I guess I would say I was all aboard all year about trading Bauer or Kluber. Now that Bauer is gone, like, I just would not think that way at all. I think Kluber's going to come back and be good and be almost like his old self. I would be very surprised if they go down that road, because now all of a sudden you're putting a lot on some really good young guys. But I don't know. I would be very surprised if that's the case, and I think it might be a mistake if that's the case.
I think you're right. It would be a mistake. It's just one of those, like, it's one of those thought exercises that took place when Chris Rose said that to me.
Yeah.
Or I should say to Baskin and Phelps. So.
Okay.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate the time as always.
Talk to you next week.
Talk to you then. He is Doug Lamorisa, Cleveland.com, and the Plain Dealer. He is the best friend of the program, and he joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. And there's your tease for next week. We're bringing Doug on. We ran out of time. I was going to ask him Ohio State. We'll have him on next week. We'll do a ton of Ohio State then.